Good afternoon. I'm Jessica Reif Ehrlich, Senior Media and Entertainment Analyst at BofA Securities. And I couldn't be more thrilled to end our conference, our 2021 media conference with Lachlan Murdoch, who is the Executive Chair and Chief Executive Officer of Fox Corporation. So, Lachlan, welcome back.
Thank you very much, Jessica. So it's a pleasure to be here, and thanks for having me.
Thank you. So much has happened since the emergence of New Fox in 2019. It's kind of incredible when you think about it. COVID has obviously significantly impacted our lives and the economies around the world. Most traditional media companies have pivoted to DTC and that just in that time frame. So the miles have changed. Media companies are trying to gain scale, as you know, through M&A. I mean, couldn't be more surprised at the Warner Discovery combination when that was announced, and then Amazon's acquisition of MGM, which kind of makes you wonder where the rest of the fangs are or what they're thinking. And then, of course, the JV with Comcast and Viacom, CBS. So, given kind of like the change in the world, how is your core strategy evolving?
So look, I think it is amazing. You're right to think back. What sort of is it 2.5 years ago to the Investor Day and the sort of the creation and the launch of New Fox, post our sale of the assets to Disney. And you remember, at the time, we talked a lot about the logic behind our strategy for Fox was around media fragmentation and really doubling down and investing in the most engaging and the most sort of powerful brands in media. And that was our strategy. And of course, that's in live entertainment, entertainment and live news and live sports. Now, and what's happened over the last couple of years, and COVID, was potentially an accelerator of this, is that the media world, and particularly the entertainment segment of the media world, has only become more fragmented. The fragmentation has only accelerated. And what that's meant is that decision we made a few years ago to create New Fox and focus on these core brands has actually proven prescient and incredibly valuable. We're seeing an environment where news is never more important and never more engaging, and our share of audience is incredibly strong and at near peak highs. And in sports, we're seeing an audience return to sports, and importantly, advertisers and clients understanding the importance and the power of large aggregated audiences. And so we're seeing a flow of revenue from our advertising clients into these sort of must-have properties. So from a strategic point of view, I think we're seeing the strategy well executed and showing incredible signs of success and strength. But nonetheless, our investment in digital media and streaming continues apace and is also an extremely important leg of our strategy. So the acquisition of Tubi, for one example, has been proved to be very well timed as audiences look for entertainment programming off linear broadcast networks and cable networks and either a streaming platform. And so Tubi as an AVOD platform offering streaming entertainment has been an incredible addition to the company.
Right. The timing on that was absolutely incredible. But just to maybe touch on some, the kind of the scale question, did the linear TV and virtual MVPD bundles, in addition to Tubi, of course, and Fox Nation, is that enough scale in terms of distribution, or would you consider partnering with other networks or streaming companies as a way to monetize these assets, Fox Nation, or potentially pivot some of your traditional pay TV-focused assets into more of a streaming environment? I mean, you've kind of resisted losing all of that money that other people are doing, but where do you go from here?
First, I want to answer the question. Look, I think scale is obviously, and scale and sort of distribution is obviously very important, but particularly if you're a subscription video on demand service, it's becoming a more and more crowded marketplace, and to earn a share of a consumer's wallet, they're going to pay for you on a monthly basis. Whether it's $5 or $8 or $10 for your content, will become increasingly difficult. And that's why you can see many media companies that have bet on a subscription video service, continuing to invest and spend a tremendous amount of their capital on content and programming to feed those services. We are in a very different business and in a very different position, in that we have decided to go full bore and have a focus on winning the advertising video on demand service, which is a free service. So we don't really have to compete as much in terms of expensive headline content, but we need a breadth of licensed content. We need the best ad tech, which we have, and we need to be able to let people know about the 35,000 titles that are on Tubi. So Tubi doesn't really need the scale that a subscription of video on demand service requires, and we're certainly seeing that in the performance of the business. Our other streaming business, Fox Nation, which is doing very well, is a subscription video a business, but it's very targeted to Fox News superfans. And we know that market is watching us on linear like never before, and we have a tremendous platform to capture them and to offer them, an added service in Fox Nation. So Fox Nation doesn't need the scale either in the way that some of the other entertainment on-demand services require.
Right. Which is amazing, because you really do have to, you zigged what everyone's out, and it seems to be working. But through some of your recent investments and some acquisitions, you've gone into new areas as well. I mean, your timing on sports betting was phenomenal, but also consumer finance, blockchain, AVOD streaming, as you just mentioned. How do you think about the Fox asset mix today and how M&A fits into your strategy going forward?
So what we look for is businesses that can, from a content or business model perspective, can plug into our multiple platforms, right? Where we can help monetize them through entertainment, through news, through sports, and of course, always sort of digital first, have a digital first aspect to them. Tubi is a great example of how the whole company has come together now with driving news on Tubi. We've just launched sport on Tubi, and we're promoting Tubi, across all of our platforms. And of course, we have our franchise entertainment programs also on Tubi. We've just, yesterday, when it wasn't this morning, it was yesterday, announced the acquisition of TMZ, the celebrity and entertainment news business, which is both from a syndicated television programming, and also, very importantly, has a very strong digital presence. When we look at TMZ, we see a business that we're not in terms of celebrity and entertainment news, but that can absolutely fit alongside, all of our other brands and platforms. And we can really sort of help drive it across the board. It was a modest acquisition, but one that we are very excited about. And I think this goes to that model of where can we acquire businesses that within Fox are much more valuable and have a much higher growth profile as they would stand alone or perhaps in another media company.
Right. Okay, that was a really interesting acquisition and one that we all know. The consumer brands. So let's go into some of the current business trends for your divisions, starting with maybe distribution. Pay TV sub declines seem to maybe have moderated a bit, but you're also lapping a very heavy renewal cycle. Can you give us any insight into what the trajectory will look like in fiscal 22 and beyond for your affiliate fees?
First thing on affiliate, you know, that's important to note, but it does inform our results. Is, you know, we have you know, the strongest brands on cable television today. Since the Olympics, the Summer Olympics finished, to now, Fox News in primetime has been the number one network, including broadcast networks in the United States. And so when you look at the strength of that that brand and the engagement that brand has with its audience, it really is a driver of value for our distribution partners. And we see that then as we go through these renewal cycles for our networks. This year, you know, we have a relatively quieter year in terms of renewals, and then next year I think we have about 35% of our distribution coming up for renewal, and the following year about 33 or 34% coming up for renewals. So while this year is quieter, we have just completed a small distribution renewal, and you know it's a one indicator which is important is that, you know, in that renewal, you know, we saw, you know, significant commercial improvements on pricing and other terms across the board, which will, you know, speaks very positively towards what we'll be achieving or hope to achieve next year.
Right. And then on the other side, distribution as well, but on retrans, your retrans prices have, you know, really been like top end of the industry. I remember when Chase, when he worked for you, said $1 a sub, $1 a sub, and everybody thought he was like insane. But you know, from here, is there still room to, you know, for meaningful growth? And given your focus on live versus everyone else kind of putting their content not just online, you know, on their linear channels, but also on their streaming, which, you know, takes the differentiation away, like the uniqueness of that programming. So you're really differentiating yourself there, you know, you're different than kind of your peers. But you know, so I guess you know, just on retrans, is there still an opportunity to grow from here?
Absolutely. You know, we talked about this before, but certainly when we go into these retransmission and affiliate renewals, when you have a large bouquet of channels and a lot of competing interests internally. I think in the past, retransmission has been, you know, used to help. And I know it's been used to help, you know, launch other services or perhaps flatter other brands. We're not in that position. You know, we're very focused on our core brands and our network and our stations. And as such, we're really able to drive our retransmission, you know, revenue and increases, you know, very very strongly and very healthily. You know, we see that continuing. Obviously, it goes with the, you know, the renewal cycle with our distributors. But we see retransmission continuing to be a strong growth area for us. I should mention two things. One is that I think I think all the way back into our first investor day, we talked about $1 billion of incremental retransmission revenues that we would achieve from the birth of New Fox of that investor day to I think the calendar 22, and we are well on track to achieve that target. It's always a worry as a CEO, as a management team, when you put out high targets and aggressive targets to the market, but it's really pleasing when the team is coming together and work hard to be able to achieve those targets. So We're on track to achieve that. The other thing on retransmission, which is important, we haven't had a chance to talk about this, but you know, clearly the court loss for you know the road piracy business Locast, it was an important one for us. You know, we will always vigorously defend our intellectual property. And it's just you know pleasing to see that a threat out there of someone who felt they could steal our content for free and subvert the business model of you know television broadcast television in this country. It's pleasing to see that you know that threat has been averted.
Right, and then moving on to advertising. I mean, by all accounts, everyone said this is historic upfront, like, you know, in everyone's lifetime. Did you see that as well? And what are you seeing on the national side? You know, what's the outlook for national advertising for your properties for the next, you know, 6 to 12 months?
So the upfront was historic. You know, everyone said it. I don't know which adjective you want to use. I think everyone used a lot of positive adjectives, but they're all accurate. So I would endorse what our colleagues across the rest of the industry has said. And importantly, the scatter market since the upfront, you know, has remained tremendously strong. We are talking sort of about national advertising, Jessica, you know, this NFL marketplace has never been stronger. We've never seen anything like it. And pleasingly, you know, we are seeing new advertisers come into sport and frankly, new advertisers come into news. And I think that goes to, you know, what I was saying earlier, which is that, you know, major brands and major clients are seeing, you know, news and sports and there's nothing like, you know, the NFL and Major League Baseball in terms of, you know, where they can reach such a large audience. So we're seeing new clients and at tremendous volumes.
That's great. It didn't hurt that NFL ratings started out very strongly.
Look, the weekend was a great weekend. I think the aggregate on Sunday there for us and CBS was about 20% up in ratings. I think for the whole weekend, it was about 16% up in ratings, which is great to see. I think that's a 5-year high. So bodes well for the whole season and you know, makes us even more pleased to be partners with the NFL for the long term, for the next 10 years. I should also mention that, because sometimes it falls off people's radar, but college football also had a tremendous start. I think up, you know, over 40% in ratings. So the combination for us of both the NFL, but also college, you know, bodes really well for the fall season.
That's incredible because we haven't talked about ratings being up for quite a while.
it's nice.
Yeah, and then like just you know, we talked earlier about COVID, and you know, with the rise of COVID. Are there any headwinds that you're seeing in your advertising business? I mean, it's COVID, which may lead to like slower openings. But the second thing is just the supply chain, like autos are obviously there's just no supply.
Yeah. So the auto sector, you know, we have two segments that are down. Auto, which is because of this chip shortage, which you know will so it's a it's a supply issue, not a demand issue. So you know, we expect those clients and those partners, you know, to come back strongly once they have the supply of their cars to be able to sell. So all auto is down, and telecom is down somewhat. Every other category is up. You know, on average, 20% coming to this fall. So from a COVID perspective, and this thrust of your question, absolutely COVID has affected supply chains and thus the auto category for our national and our local auto advertising. Having said that, the flip side of this is that, you know, throughout the past 18 months of the pandemic, you know, we saw a tremendous amount of new clients come into broadcasting and cable television that were sort of the digital clients, clients such as like Uber Eats and others that came in for the first time at scale. Also, obviously, a lot of the streaming companies came in. What we're now seeing is the pre-COVID clients, travel and retail and others coming back strongly into the market in the fall, but the COVID clients remaining. And so, you know, you have more demand for our programs and for our time, and that's a positive trend to see.
Right, that's great. So, what role did Tubi play in the upfront discussions this year?
Sorry, what was the Tubi?
What role did they play in the upfront discussions this year?
They played a huge role, but I should make very clear, where they were part of every conversation, and I think the marketplace, not just with Fox, but obviously streaming platforms and particularly obviously ones that held advertising was a focus for a lot of clients. For Fox, so Tubi was a part of every conversation we had, and it was tremendous benefit of both the Tubi and the Fox. The key thing for Tubi for us, and I can't talk for others, but for Tubi for us was that all the dollars were truly incremental. Tubi offers our advertisers a reach that simply don't get on broadcast and on Fox alone. So the combination of Fox and Tubi, has worked tremendously well.
Right. And then just to go back to sports for a second, and I'll come back to Tubi in a second, but on sports, you mentioned the ratings, you gave amazing ratings for football, college football and NFL. You mentioned MLB, but, we're going to have a normal schedule as well. So, is the demand overall up versus like a normal year, like in 2019? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely. It's an incredibly strong sports market. Demand is very high. We are having, I think it was reported the other day, we've had inbound calls on Super Bowl advertising for next year. It's a very robust market and one that's importantly, I think for us, we also made sure in our upfronts that we kept enough availability in our back pocket for the scatter market going forward. You always make these judgments in terms of how many avails do you keep to sell into the scatter market going forward. And so far our decision to hold back enough time to be actively in sale as scatter pricing is strong. Is proving out a good decision.
Just to clarify what you just said, you mean Super Bowl 23? Because right. NBC doesn't, so they're calling you now in 21 for, wow,
yep.
that's amazing. Okay.
Yeah, it's a very strong market.
And then on local, like what are you seeing, what kind of trends are you seeing at the local, O&O broadcast station level? You don't have political. I know you have a big new category in sports betting, so it's a lot of puts and takes. Can you give us some color?
Sure. So local, again, the same local issues as national had in terms of in auto being the soft category, but all other categories with the exception of telco, up very strongly. And of course, the standout, as you mentioned, is the gaming category. So I think it was for the first quarter the number I saw was 650%, and we're only in it's only in a third of our footprint, right? Of our markets or the markets that we touch, and so where sports betting is legal. So this is a tremendous category for us. It's growing incredibly fast, and I think it's on track to be in the top two or three advertising categories for our local stations.
Right. I'll come back to sports betting in 2 seconds. I just finish up on advertising. You said before that Fox News ratings are, I guess the you I guess the share versus others has
Sure.
climbed. So do you feel like you're finally monetizing it well, or is there still room to go on the news on Fox
There's
News?
absolutely still room to go. The share is tremendous. We're over 50% share in the news, in the news category. I think it's 52 and 55% demographic. So the share has been tremendous. The news cycle is exhausting. Our producers and journalists are doing a tremendous job keeping a pace with the news cycle and continuing to inform our viewers. And that's really what's led to the share and led to tremendous ratings. The ratings aren't what they were for anyone in an election cycle, in a cycle where there's also a lot of intent and viewing. But we're incredibly happy with the share, and from a ratings point of view, as I said, being the number one network, including broadcast network, in late August, early September, was really a really wonderful to see. From an advertising point of view, we're seeing new advertisers come into news just as we are into sport. We are seeing advertisers that we're building vehicles for them to advertise, whether it can be in non-opinion programming or lifestyle programming, or now with the launch next month of Fox Weather. We're seeing tremendous interest in brands who would not be traditional news advertisers come into show tremendous interest in Fox Weather. So as we look at our Fox News media brand, and you can prime time and news programming, opinion programming, but now lifestyle programming, and weather and other adjacencies, which are important for our advertisers.
Is Fox Weather going to be a cable channel or digital only?
It's a fast channel, so it'll be start with a digital channel, free across multiple platforms.
Okay, and then let's move on to sports betting because it's really exciting right now. So, as more states legalize sports betting, does your approach change, and how should we think about the potential exercise of your Fox Bet and FanDuel options?
You don't need me or any of your guests on the broadcast this afternoon to tell you that the market is booming. It's growing incredibly fast. As we said, we touch, I think, it's six markets, and it's already, say, one of our top advertising categories. And the reason for that is it's very competitive, and there's a big prize to play for. We are in a good position. We've put ourselves in a good position in that we have both the option for 18.6% into FanDuel, which is incredibly valuable. They're our partner, and clearly they're going to be one of the winners in the space. And we have our joint venture with them in Fox Bet. If you look at the Fox Bet joint venture, if you remember, we have a free-to-play game that sits on top called Fox Bet Super 6, which is now also a partner as one of the sort of official wagering partners with the NFL. And Fox Bet Super 6 this weekend did three times the number of active players, people who participated in the first weekend's competition, three times the number of active players that were played in the first weekend last year. So the market is growing exponentially. I think our brands are very, very well positioned, and we're in a good position in that we actually participate across the marketplace.
Well, I mean, it seems like there's really potential, intersection between your media properties and the sports betting, where you're obviously well positioned with Fox Sports, which is an amazing brand. Could you talk about some of the opportunities you have or may have to integrate Fox Sports brands with sports betting?
Sure. So it goes to our strategy on in other parts of the business as well, where you can take the Fox Sports brand, and look at how you monetize it in different ways, right? So you can monetize it through advertising. You can monetize it through affiliate revenue. But what's a third revenue stream that we can garner from such highly engaged audience and having invested so much in truly the world's best sports programming and sports wagering is clearly the great opportunity today in that way. So what you see us doing is you'll see us integrating say odds into our Fox Sports app. You'll see us pushing Super 6, across platforms, and not only sports platforms, but where it's a free to play game, and where the content is compelling enough that people want to play that game, over a weekend. So there's lots of different across the company opportunities to really drive our wagering business, and Fox Sports is obviously a key one, but in other areas as well. And in fact, I'd say something that's worth noting that with the new company, we purposely designed an organizational structure and a management team that was small enough and nimble enough and could work quickly enough to be able to execute on a number of these initiatives. And so with Fox Bet and the overall relationship entirely with Flutter, you see sort of weekly and fortnightly senior management sort of engagement on how to drive those businesses and how to outperform what we did even in great success last year.
Great. And then on just growth investments in general, you guys have talked about $200 to $300 million in net EBITDA losses in fiscal 22 associated with some of these newer businesses. So I guess Tubi, Fox Nation, Fox Weather. How should we think about the allocation of the investment across each of these assets? And what's the path to break even?
So I think we call them $200 to $300 million of investment in those businesses, and they are truly investments in we see as the strategic a future of our business. And you can look at them. Each one is obviously very different. They're very different businesses. Tubi and what drives Tubi with a total viewing time, bringing new users in, but the marketing cost behind that, also the ability to acquire or produce low cost but highly engaging content is very important for the success of Tubi, and that's where we're allocating our costs towards Tubi, because they're real really important levers in the success of that business, which is as we talked about, growing so strongly. Fox Weather, another big initiative. It was tremendous to see in New York last week. The Fox Weather team joined the Fox family, so welcome everyone from Fox Weather. Weather is something that all of our audiences cares about, and it's going to be a tremendous business. Really driven by the source of advertising interest that we're already seeing coming onto that platform. And Fox Nation continues to grow. It's important that we have a direct one-on-one relationship with our most engaged super fans. So we think that's an important and strategic investment as well.
Right. So I have a there's a bunch of questions from investors. I'll try to take one because it's on Fox Nation. They said, Fox is starting to buy content from Fox Nation with COP. So is this the start of deploying more capital into this growth vector?
Well, you know, we've always bought content for Fox Nation. Some of it's licensed for shorter periods of time. You know, others is produced, and others, you know, we purchased. We've seen in this last year the success of Fox Nation and the subscriber acquisition, you know, really take off. In great part to the content, you know, that we now have on the platform. I think, you know, we may have talked about this before, Jessica, I'm not sure, but you have to build up, a library. It's great to have, key sort of programming, throughout the week, and we're dropping live programming. The live programming, in fact, on Fox Nation has done incredibly well this year. But it's also important to have that library in a subscription video on demand service. So we, we've started to carefully license and purchase other programming, but we're doing it in a careful way that's really just designed for driving those subscriber acquisitions and engagement.
Right. And then I guess just one more thing on Fox Nation, but you've had some, a couple of really good quarters of customer acquisitions. What are I don't know that you've ever talked about this, but what are your longer term goals for this asset? Like, how big can it get?
Look, I think it can get pretty big, but it's you have to remember it's today, right? And it's when we just talk about the acquisition of the new series of COPs, because as a pure news and documentary unscripted service, there's a super fan market for that. But in order to grow beyond that, you'll see us get into other lifestyle and entertainment categories that resonate well with our audience. So we've been strategic about the growth of Fox Nation. We'll continue to be strategic about it, and we really see it as a tremendous opportunity, as I said, to have that one-on-one relationship, with our super fans that are frankly, already watching our linear program.
Right. So we're kind of running out of time, and I want to just get into the mandatory capital allocation questions. Mm-hmm. So you finished last year, fiscal 21, with almost $5.9 billion of cash on hand. You recently approved, or your board approved, $2 billion in buyback authorization. You have such a strong balance sheet. What are your capital allocation priorities from here? And then one last question after that.
Well, look, I think we have a whole kind of quiver of tools to mix metaphors, but a tool chest of tools to allocate our capital and ultimately, to return capital to our shareholders. So as you said, the board has just approved an increase and extension of our buyback program. You'll see us continue to buy back shares. I think we have over $2 billion capacity still to use and allocate towards buying back shares. And you'll see us, our expectation is that we'll continue to do that. We also, this year at the end of a full year earnings, increased our dividend. And so those are, two levers that we feel are important, particularly when we have, in a great position to have, not only have a lot of cash, but have, very strongly cash generating businesses. It's important that we have those tools where we can allocate cash, return cash, capital to our shareholders. Having said that, M&A is important to us as well. We'll look at a lot of M&A opportunities, but we're careful to search for businesses that I said that complement the whole, and that we can really drive across news and sports and entertainment.
Right. I mean, I guess the last thing is that because your balance sheet is so strong, like, would you consider levering up, whether it is for any of the things you just, you know, maybe in a difference, but buyback or M&A?
Look, there's no need for us to lever up now. You know, we have because of the strength of the balance sheet, we have a tremendous amount of firepower. If we were to go looking for any larger assets, we haven't seen anything that's of interest to us at the moment today. But we certainly have, you know, a lot of flexibility to, you know, be strategic as we go forward. Our strategy has worked over the last 2.5 years. It's accelerating. The media fragmentation we talked about is helping our assets, and we're in a great position going forward. So, you know, we will be strategic. We've got a great balance sheet, and we'll certainly put it to good use.
That's great. Thank you so much. So with that, we're finished with the conference, and I can't thank you enough, Lachlan, for coming and closing it out for us.
Jessica, thank you very much for having me. It's lovely to see you, and thanks for everyone for listening and joining today. Thank you.